Every time I take a little break and I come back, I hear some of the most insane and craziest and weird and strange comments and questions. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a sheep lost without their shepherd, but people say some of the most weirdest, just insane Bible breakdowns or their interpretation of the word or what their friend told them about God's word or the end times or the last days. Just weird and strange doctrine. If you've seen one of my videos, a guy just wrote just recently, I just put out, I was showing my son, I showed my son off, and I'm drinking an energy drink in the video. And the guy says, "You're not supposed to drink alcohol. You said we are supposed to follow God's laws, commandments, and statutes. Why are you drinking alcohol?" Now, I was drinking an energy drink, but does God's laws, commandments, and statutes say that you can't drink alcohol? This is something that Christians honestly have said for many, many years. You can't drink alcohol and be a Christian or a believer or an Israelite. My cousin wrote me the other night, and I'm sorry, he didn't write me. We were talking on the phone, maybe it's 2, 3 nights ago, and he's attending this new church and he's trying to be a leader in the church or whatever, whatnot. He's dating a girl, and they told him, "Oh, you can't be a leader at this church because you're having sex with her before marriage." This is some of the strange, weird, and strange doctrine that I've heard in so many thousands of others, whether it's talking about Esau, whether it's talking about the Edomites, whether it's talking about our belief or our faith. I've heard millions upon millions, and you have as well, of Bible interpretations and beliefs about God's word. And it's strange and it's weird. I saw a girl comment. I'm going on a tangent right now, but I saw a girl comment once. And she said, "Are there any normal people in the truth?" You know, she was saying, like, is anybody normal in the truth? And she said, "Everybody is just weird and strange." And I swear I wanted to like that comment 1,000 times because I knew exactly what she meant, but I couldn't go into detail with it. But I'm about to go into a detail right now because I believe it all comes down to this. This is what it comes down to. You don't know what you believe. You don't know what you believe. And I was at that moment one point in my life when I was a Christian, like I was a baby Christian, Joel Osteen Christian. Then I kind of felt like I graduated to a more, I thought at least I knew, had a more understanding of the word. When I was listening to more T.D. Jakes and Tony Evans, I thought I had a more meat of the word, right? And then I learned, flipped the word completely on his whole head once I started learning the real full truth. And I'm, you know, now I can't listen to none of them anymore because I'm like, wow, what is going on now? Right? And I'm saying that to say, in between learning the truth and kind of thinking I knew the truth, it really shook my faith for a minute because I didn't know what I believed. I didn't know what I believe. I think it all comes, I should have called this, "What do you believe?" Maybe I'll do a sermon one day called, "What do you believe? What is your belief? What is your faith?" The truth is, most people do not know their faith. They have no idea what they believe. When my cousin said to me that the church said to him that he had to get married before he had sex and that he was sinning having sex with her, the first question I asked him was, "What is sin?" He could not define to me what sin was. If I asked every single person watching this, what was sin, except those of us that know the Bible a little bit now that we're in the truth, none of us would know what sin was. If you had asked me just what 4 or 5 years ago, what is sin? I would have said, doing something bad, some arbitrary, like doing whatever it says that you can't do in the Bible, right? Like I would have had an arbitrary definition. I wouldn't have had no idea what sin was. What is sin, right? Because if you find out what sin is, then you know, oh, well, I can't be sinning unless this is this. And so now you know, okay, because sin is the transgression of God's laws. As it says in 1 John 3 and 4, the breaking of God's laws. So I can't sin unless I'm breaking God's law. So if I'm doing something that is outside of God's laws, then I'm not sinning. Leviticus 5 and 17 also talks about what sin is as well. But I'm going on a little time. I had to go on a little detour because like I said, we don't know what we believe. And what I personally believe, what is written in the plain text of God's word. I was in politics, and the reason why I didn't like the Democrat Party is because the Democrat Party kept switching the pendulum. One day, when I was a Democrat, they was against gay marriage, believe it or not. Now they for it. When I was a Democrat, oh God, I could go on and on and on about the things that they was against, and then out of nowhere they was for. Oh, they was supposed to be against the war, and then all of a sudden they was for the war.
This is when I was, this 15, 20 years ago, right? And I, so they just kept switching, and I kept going, what the heck is going on, right? So then I became a Republican, and I was a constitutional Republican. That's why I liked it, the conservatives. I said constitutional, because at least they had an outline of, okay, this is what we believe. And you can't deviate from the Constitution. This is it, and that's it. I liked it that, and that helped me in my faith later on once I found out that that our faith, our belief, oh, God, help me preach this thing, is anchored to God's word, but specifically to God's laws. Oh, I went on a long detour, but I hope you guys are still here with me. Leviticus 22 and 31. Keep my commands and follow them. I am the Lord. Keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19, 37. And I also read Leviticus 22 and 31. Then look, Deuteronomy 6 and 17. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. So there is scripture after scripture after scripture about us keeping God's laws, his commandments, and his statutes. And I want to make a quick note here real quick. When I say God's laws, commandments, and statutes, those are all the same things. A statute is a law. Nevada revised statute, California revised statute, Wyoming, Texas revised statute. The Texas revised statute is a law. The California revised statute is a law. You get that? Commandments. Commandments meaning the things I say you have to do. So the things that is said in those statutes, you have to do. That's a commandment. A statute, a law, and a commandment are all the same thing. So when God says, keep my commandments, he's talking about keep my statutes, keep my decrees, keep my laws. These are all just synonyms for the same thing. I want you to understand it, because I think some of y'all are confused with commandments, statutes, and laws. I think there's a multiple, three different things. No, they're not. They're all the same word for all the same thing. The 613 laws outlined, give or take, in Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Exodus, outlined in those books. Right. Correct. 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 And I wrote a book on it called God's Laws, Commandments, and Statutes, if you want to go get that. Right. But I'm not promoting the book here. We're just talking. Listen to this real quick. So God said in Deuteronomy, follow my laws. Right. Follow my laws, commandments, and statutes. I'm commanding you to follow my laws, commandments, and statutes. And he says this in so many other scriptures. Right. Then Christ doubles it up, because I want to show you what you believe, because your problem is right now that you don't know what you believe. You don't know what you believe. That's why you're following after this strange doctrine, weird and strange doctrine. That's why somebody come to you and say, women got to learn in silence, and you just believe them. But where's your law on that? Where's the scripture to show me that women, I'm about to get into that in a minute. I'm about to prove that that's not true based on the Bible. People come to you and say anything. Oh, yeah, you know, the sky was red today. So that mean that we all got to jump over a brick. No, what are you talking about? Right? You got to follow the Sabbath day. They say you got to follow the Sabbath day. You can't work. You got to stay at home on the Sabbath day. But they also say you're supposed to stay home. But yeah, they go out working. What are we supposed to follow? How are we supposed to do it? There's laws. There's rules. That is your faith. Your faith has a guideline. When you go to a class, when you go take a class in school and in college, the first thing the professor gives you is a syllabus, a guideline. You mean to tell me that God leaves you with no guideline? Just hyper grace. You can do whatever the heck you want. No, there's a guideline. There's rules to this faith. You know, to be an American citizen, my wife is Jamaican. She had to get her American citizenship. To get her citizenship, she had to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, which means that in order to be an American, what says you're an American are the laws, your ideals, your principles. I don't know if y'all know that. Because if you go to another country, it's clear they will say, oh, he's American because he does things this way. Oh, she's American because she does things this way. Oh, no. Over here in France, we do it like this. Over here in Nigeria, we do it like this. Meaning we believe this. This is what we believe here in France. This is what we believe here in Nigeria. These are our rules. These are our laws. These are our constitution. God's laws are your constitution, your belief. You're not with God. You're not a citizen of the kingdom. Oh, we're going to get in that a minute. Unless you follow his laws. Matthew 5:17, it's a shame that we got to keep reading this. But do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I tell you truly, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, leak, or stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Now, nothing will disappear from the commandments, from the statutes, till everything is accomplished. Again, Matthew 19 and 16, the guy comes to Jesus and said, teacher, what good thing must I do to enter life? Why do you call me good? Jesus replied. Christ replied, Yeshua will cry. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. So that's over and over and over again right there. Christ telling us to keep the commandments, right? And then in the last book of the Bible, because many, you know, say that, you know, you just got to believe on Christ's name. That's all you got to do is believe on his name to go to heaven. If you believe in Christ's name, you go into heaven. Where in the world does it say that at? That's why it's interesting that we fight over the name of Christ, because where does it say that you need to believe on his name in order to go to heaven? Anyone that believe on his name? You see what I'm saying? You see the foolishness? It doesn't say believe in his name. It says believe in him. He is the sacrifice. Him, who he is, what he was, a life for a life. For the wages of sin is death, right? But in order to make atonement for sin, you have to have a life for a life. He stepped in front of us to be to make atonement, to make payment for our sin. I'm going to get in that in a minute. I don't want to get too far off this because I want to first read Revelations 22 and 14, which says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gates into the city. Do you see this? This is the last book of the Bible. So let's make a little detour real quick before we go too far off. What do you believe? Weird and strange doctrine. What do you believe? You said you want to go to heaven, right? Well, it says right here, Revelations 22, 14, to go to heaven, blessed are they to do the commandments. They have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates. You see, they asked, the guy, a teacher came to Christ, said, what do I have to do to enter to go to heaven? He said, well, you got to keep the commandments. You got to keep God's laws. God commanded you in his laws, as I read to you already, do my commandments, do my laws. I know it sounds like a broken record coming from me because you're always hearing me talk about God's laws, but I have realized that this is one of the most, it is the most important thing for our salvation and for our faith and everything that we believe. It's God's laws. It's God's laws. And I'm about to prove to you and show you right now how mostly almost everyone you know, including myself, have not been following God's laws. I'm talking about including all these Israelite camps and all these people who claim to be following God's laws. And I'm gonna give you the secret of who's actually, there's a people in this world that actually do be following God's laws. I'm gonna show you this real quick. But let's first get into this. If someone comes to you and say in the Bible that women should learn in silence, I wanna show you something real quick. The first question you should say to them is, where's your scripture to prove that? 1 Timothy 2:11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjugation. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. So listen to this. Timothy cannot create a law. Nor is Timothy trying to create a law. Timothy is giving advice. He's giving a recommendation. He's giving counsel. He's giving guidance. That's why he said, but I suffer not. Oh, we hear what you suffer, but you ain't God. See, it's blasphemy because you guys, not you guys, but it has been taught to us in a sense that when we read Paul and we read Timothy, that somehow supersedes anything in God's words out of God's mouth. That's crazy. The laws of Moses is superior over anything Timothy said, over anything that Paul says, because the laws of Moses come directly from God. You understand that this is his law that he established for you to go be a light to the world, to teach the Gentiles. This is a fact. I hope y'all hear what I'm saying. Peter said in Acts 5 and 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said this, we ought to obey God rather than man, meaning we are not to obey Paul, we are to obey God. How in the world can Timothy come and say, this is what you're supposed to do? When Christ came, the Son of God said, no, follow God, follow my Father, follow God. So Christ comes and says, follow God. Timothy comes and says, I'm going to create my own law. Paul comes and says, I'm going to create my own law. And you think you're supposed to go out following that? You are insane. So God's law should be the starting point for all arguments. And then you build on that. You compound evidence on that. And typically, when you want to prove a case, you have multiple witnesses. And you want to have so forth. So precept upon precept. And you want to have with the Bible, you want to use multiple witnesses, multiple scriptures to prove your point. So you can't just come out and say the book of Timothy says this. The basis of all things is the Constitution, God's laws, commandments, and statutes. Just like that's how it's supposed to be in America, but you know, today in America is kind of going whacked out. So when people come to you and say you have to have get married first in order to have sex, you say, where's the law? Now for God, sex is marriage, Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve didn't have a wedding. And I can go on and on and I can show you the law on that. But I ain't got time to go into that right now because I want to talk about this. When people say to you that the Gentiles are going to hell, All the Gentiles are going to hell. All the Israelite camps, you got you almost not all of them, but the majority of them say that the Gentiles are going to hell. You say, well, where's your scripture on it? They'll show you the prophets or something. But the prophets follow God's laws, right? Okay, so where's God's law say? Let's see. Numbers 15 and 15. The assembly is to have the same statute, both for you and the foreigner or the Gentile, right? For you and the foreign or the foreign resident. It is a permanent statute for you for generations to come. Okay, so in the future, when you're in Babylon or when you're living in the belly of the beast in America, this doesn't change. You see? The New Testament and the prophet says this. So the prophet's changing God's laws? No, God's law says that the Gentile the statutes that are to you can also go to the Gentiles too if they follow God's laws. You and the foreigner, you and the Gentile shall be one before the Lord. Numbers 9 and 14, because you want to have precept upon precept. And I don't know why I read two numbers verses, because I have it in Deuteronomy. I have it all over the world, right? But I erased my other ones to read more two numbers when I don't feel like going to find it for y'all. But look, if a foreigner dwelling among you wants to observe the Passover to the Lord, he is doing so according to the Passover statute and its ordinance. You are to apply the same statute to both the foreigner, the Gentile, and the native born. So if a Gentile wants to observe God's laws, commandments, and statutes, Lord, I'm preaching to somebody right now. The same statute, the same thing is coming to him that's coming to you. They don't want this. They don't want this. This ain't an interpretation. This is why I'm so upset. Weird and strange doctrine. This is why I'm so upset even giving this message, because it is a lot of weird people out there. The Israelites are weird. These that people that come to this truth are weird. I can't wait for God to wake up regular people. Everybody that's been in the truth for the last 10 to 15, 20 years is weird. I'm sorry. It's not one of them. I mean, it might be a few, maybe I pay 5% of them that's normal people. But most of them have lost their minds. They've lost their mind. The word of God is not so murky and muddy and crazy that we can't understand it. It's crystal clear. I just read to you crystal clear, verbatim, the word. I didn't interpret this for you. I didn't come up. We didn't have to jump from here to here. Oh, let me show you this right here in the Zondervan. I didn't have to do any of that, because God's word is clear. His laws are clear. There's no interpretation. I don't need a bishop. I don't need anybody. I don't need to go to a pastor or preacher or a prophet or no one to interpret it for me. You can read all 613 is law of hell. I'm going to give y'all some at the end, because this girl asked me a question and she read God's laws and she wants me to interpret it for her, but I don't need to interpret it for her. When you see them out yelling on the street corner saying this person is Esau, and they have this hatred and this anger toward them. Well, the scripture says, thou shalt not abhor or hate an Edomite. So when they say that they're following God's laws, but they're literally abhorring, hating an Edomite. I don't feel like going to that, because I don't got time to jump through them hoops with y'all right now tonight on that one. What is sin? We know this is the transgression of God's laws, 1 John 3 and 4, Leviticus 5:17. If anyone sins and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, if you sin, you're doing what's forbidden in the Lord's commands. So, for example, let's say I go out tonight and I have me a few drinks. Let's say I go out tonight and I have me a few drinks. My drink of choice is Hennessy and cranberry. Okay, you ever see me out, go ahead and buy me one. I'm just playing, right? Oh, he ain't playing, right? No, seriously. I go out, I have a drink. Let's say I have five drinks, and then I go home. Did I just sin? Did I sin? Sin is breaking God's laws. Sin isn't what you get to create it as and say, he cursed, so he sinned. You don't get to create what God's sins are, what God says sin is. God gets to create what sin is. You don't get to make up your interpretation of what sin is. God says what sin is. And God says that sin is only the breaking of my laws. Anything else is your own interpretation, is your opinion, is your advice. Timothy's advice, Paul's advice, if they want to add on to what they believe you should do, or this is the way that you should walk in order that you do not sin. But they cannot create additional laws, or they cannot null and void God's laws. This is just what it is. This is your faith. This is your basis. This is why so many of you guys are all over the place. Oh, God, there's a scripture that says, without a vision, the people shall perish. But he that followeth the law, happy is he. Without a vision, you don't have nothing to stand on. So you fall for anything. Without foundation, without purpose, without instruction, without Torah. That's why Christianity is stupid. Hyper grace. It's nothing to stand on. You ain't never, that's why how the Christians are all just all over the place. They don't know what they believe. They really don't know what they believe. You really pin them down. They have no idea what they believe. Go ask them, what is sin? Not one of them can tell you what sin is. Not one. Not one. Not one Christian on the planet can tell you what sin is. And if they tell you what sin is, then they're completely hypocrites. If they know sin is the transgression of God's laws, why are they eating a pork sandwich? Why are they eating a hot dog? Because sin is breaking God's laws. Right, right, right. So I go out and I have five drinks. Did I sin? Deuteronomy 14 and 26. Use the silver to buy whatever you like. Cattle, sheep, wine, or fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. The King James Version says, go ahead and buy strong drink. Instead of saying fermented drink, it says strong drink. Fermented drink, meaning alcohol, meaning you can use the silver to go buy whatever you want. God says in his laws that you can drink alcohol. What? This is completely contradictory to anything that you have ever heard in your entire life, in your faith life. And it's ridiculous that we have believed our pastor just for saying this is what you can't do without him giving us a scripture on it. Listen to this. Actually, I'm not even going to give you the whole thing, but I'm going to tell you John 2. Starting at 1 through 11, Jesus does his first miracle, which was what? Turn water into wine, right? And I was looking for the other scripture, but I feel like bringing it up. But you know, the other scripture says the Son of Man came eating and drinking, you know, because he was saying that I've been drinking and eating all the time. Now, Jesus' first miracle turning water into wine, where is he at? He's at a wedding, right? And did they just have one drink each? No, he turned six stone water pots of wine, huge water pots. So they drinking and getting drunk. Wait a minute, Christ got drunk? Yes, so much so that many people called him, they called him a drunkard. Yes, he got drunk. Now, was Christ an alcoholic? No, but he did drink. If you drink, are you gonna get drunk? Yes, you are. I'm sorry to tell you, if you drink, you're gonna get drunk. But what is the scripture saying? What does God's law say about getting drunk? It says you can get drunk, it says you can drink. Right, if you drink, you'll get drunk. I mean, you're gonna be like, oh, you ain't, you know, but you can't be an alcoholic. You can't be a weed head. Deuteronomy 21 and 20. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he shall die. Right. So that you shall turn, put this evil away from among you, and all of Israel shall hear and feel. Put this evil away from among you. Don't be around a glutton and a drunkard. What's a glutton? One who overeats, overconsumes. So getting drunk, being a drunkard, is over consuming. You hear what I'm saying? Drinking every single night. Can't go without a drink. Can't go without some weed. So we always got to be high. Always got to be inebriated. Always got to be intoxicated. That's an alcoholic. That's a weed head. That's a crackhead. Addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol. You know who you are. It's funny that we have to try to give y'all the interpretations, but you guys know. You know when five drinks, that mean I'm alcohol. You know when you're an alcoholic and you're not. You know when you're a weed head and you're not. You know when you're a crackhead and you're not. I don't have to tell you. You already know. I really don't have to tell you. You know you got a gambling addiction. Nobody got to tell you. God is saying don't be addicted to something. That's what he's saying. He's not saying you can't go out and drink. You guys are crazy. It's funny to me because, you know, one of the biggest reasons I never wanted to be a preacher. And once I found out more about God's laws and like who we really were, is that the idea of what a preacher is. Don't think that I'm finna be sitting in my house in a mausoleum. Look, I'm about to put in one of these. Who at Dre's tonight? Jeezy in there tonight? I'm going to go get me a table. Right. Well, I don't really like Jeezy like that. But, you know, Rick Ross, somebody like that. I like him. Right. I'm being serious with you. Like they think that God intends for you to just sit around your whole life and do nothing and not be prosperous, not be blessed. I'm about to get in that in a minute. Do I get in that? Oh, my God. I want to get in that real good. Actually, let me do this real quick, because this one is a little bit more deep. And then hopefully I haven't talked forever, but I know I have, nor me. This one is deep right here. What do I believe? What do you believe? Weird and strange doctrine. If you know what you believe. God, if you know what you believe, you won't fall for anything. He that followeth the law, happy is he. You won't be writing all on my pages. Oh, yeah, you drinking and all that, and you following the laws. He don't know what he believed. He ain't never even read the laws. Because why would he even write that if he's read the laws? This is why you're supposed to meditate on my law, what? Day and night, as it said in Joshua. Meditate on the book of the law day and night. But if you don't meditate on it day and night, you don't know what the laws are. So when somebody come to you with some strange, like, oh, women got to learn in silence. Oh, you just believe it. Reading it out of Timothy. Reading it out of Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. You just believe it. Paul in the Romans, you ain't even Roman. The Corinthians, you ain't even Corinthian. But you believe, oh yeah, 1 Corinthians, they said this, but you ain't Corinthian. And nobody you know ain't from Thessalonica. I'm just telling you what it is. But Peter, when Peter wrote, he said, I'm writing this to the ones that scattered worldwide. And when it said the Hebrews, said to the Hebrews from Apollos. Oh God, I was going to read that. I ain't got time to get in that right now. I really don't. A woman wrote me. This is another one of the weird and strange doctors. This is a good one because she actually knew the scriptures and outlined the scriptures to me. But I want y'all to see what she said to me, because I want y'all to see that what I believe is to following the strict adherence to God's laws, commandments, and statutes as God instructed us to. Matter of fact, there's one scripture that says the whole duty of a man is to follow God's laws. Just like the whole, what makes you a good American citizen? When you follow the laws of America, fool, right? That's what makes you a great American citizen. I am a law-abiding citizen when I follow the law. So are you a law-abiding Christ follower, or a law-abiding believer in God, in Yeshua, in Yah, in the Most High? Are you a law-abiding, or do you only want to follow your laws? Oh, let me get in that in a minute. I'm going to get in that in a minute. So for example, the woman wrote me, and this is deep. She wrote me, and she said that she was married, right? She was married. Yes, she was married. She divorced her husband, which God's laws forbids a wife, woman from a divorced husband. That's a whole other story. But she divorced her husband, right? Married another husband, right? And then divorced him, and then went back to the husband she divorced. That's what she said to me. And to her credit, she did write the laws to me. Leo, this is what the laws say. This is what God's laws say. I want to know what you believe I should do. God, help me preach this thing. And I'm not getting on her when I'm saying what I'm about to say. But the reason why people don't like God's laws, not her, because she obviously liked God's laws because she wrote it to me. But the reason why most people don't like God's laws and don't want to follow God's laws is because most people like chaos and disorder. Satan. Christianity is of Satan. It's chaos and it's disorder. Just hyper grace. You can do whatever you want. There's no order. What's the order? What's the syllabus? It's no order. What's the constitution of Christianity? It's no order. What's the rules? You can do whatever you want. There's no orders. You understand? Why you think all the Catholic preachers got the pedophiles and all that stuff going on? Because there's no order. There's nothing you say that I can't do. I need to have rules and regulations. People need guidance, instructions. Torah means instruction. It's literally what it means. God, help me preach this thing. Help me preach this thing. So I never wrote her back, mainly because, to be real, I didn't have the strength to tell her the truth. And I didn't want to be the cause of her leaving her husband. Because whenever I read God's laws to people, every single time I read to you guys God's laws, and where it says, when God says you have to follow my laws, and when Christ says you have to follow my laws, people blame me for it. Like, for example, with the multiple wives. People say all the time on the comments, even so-called Israelite people say, I disagree with Leo about the multiple wives. Not I disagree with God. I don't read from my own personal book. I read from the same book you're reading from. The good book, the big book, God's book. And I read specifically from the laws, the Torah, from God's laws that God gave Moses, that we are all instructed to follow. Even Christ instructed us to follow. Yet when they disagree with me, what do they say? When they disagree with God's laws, because they don't disagree with me, I'm just reading plain. I'm just like about to read a plain text right now again. They don't say I disagree with that text. They say I disagree with Leo. And I'm telling you, many of you guys, there's a day of reckoning coming. I know who called me. I know who sent me. There's a day of reckoning coming, and you playing with your faith. You playing with God. Don't play with God. God ain't nobody to be played with. And you sitting up here saying you disagree with him? You on crack. You'd be better off just saying, you know what, I ain't getting married then because I don't want to follow that. Or I'm going to make sure I get with a man that does only want to be with you and you only. And it's never going to ever, you know, which I don't believe men are monogamous. So I just, you know, especially not black men. It just is what it is. I mean, in my opinion, you just got to follow God's laws. I ain't going to try to give you an out. You got to follow God's laws. I ain't going to give you an out. There's no out. Like, that's with her. I could have tried to give her an out and say, oh, because if you went to a Christian pastor, I promise you what a Christian pastor would say is something like this. Oh, God, what would he say to her about her husband? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see how eloquent that sound? I think that's 2 Corinthians 15. Something like that. I don't know exactly the description, but y'all know what I'm talking about. If therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They probably read them something like that. meaning the sense of, you know, everything that happened, you don't have to worry about that. The old laws, you don't have to listen to them. You're a new creature now in Christ, and you and your husband can go forward into the kingdom. That's what they were saying. That's what they would say. So, and this is what what's funny? Because the people who claim they disagree with me about the multiple wives thing, right? They really disagree with God. But check this out. Leviticus 18:22. A man shall not lie down with a man shall not lie down with a man like a man lie down with a woman. Homosexuality is not mentioned nowhere else in the Bible. It's not even in the New Testament. So for people to say you don't have to follow the multiple wives law would mean you also don't have to follow homosexual law, which means that homosexuals should be able to go to the kingdom. You see? You see the people logic is? See, when you try to start mucking it up, because what you really is doing is you're creating your own doctrine, which is strange doctrine. It's weird and it's strange. Because what it really just means is you're creating your own doctrine to follow, your own religion. Christianity is a religion they created. Martin Luther created. But that's not the religion of the Bible, because no one else ever followed. I mean, the original intent of the Bible, this was not the original intent of the Bible. The Israelites did not follow this religion. It's a created religion. You just have the grace to do whatever you want. That's insane. That's insane. You can't even take a class in college with the grace to do whatever you want. You have a grace period. You might have a get out of jail free card, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But you have to follow the rules. Otherwise, you cannot take this class. Deuteronomy 24:1. I'm sorry, y'all. Let me get back to the one with the married man, with the married husband. She remarried him. Deuteronomy 24:1, because this is deep. If a man marries a woman who he becomes displeasing to him, who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, give it to her and send her from his house. And if after she leaves his house, she becomes the wife of another man, and her second husband dislikes her and writes her a certificate of divorce. Now she's been married twice. First husband divorced her, now the second husband divorces, right? Gives it to her and sends her out of his house. If he dies, then the first husband who divorced her is not allowed to marry her again after she has been defiled. That would be detestable in the eyes of the Lord. Do not bring sin upon the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Like I said, all credit to the woman who wrote me. I never wrote her back. Maybe I write her back since I'm giving this message to y'all. But I never wrote her back because she wanted me to make a decision for her that she needed to make for herself. She already knew the word because she outlined the scripture to me. So she knew the word herself. It's left up to her whether she's willing to follow the word, the Lord or not. In my opinion, I could be wrong by this, but what I'm saying, but in my opinion, the fact that she wrote me and said this means to me, in my opinion, that God was already convicted her anyway, that she was already convicted that she was doing the wrong thing. Because otherwise, why even write it? Write me about it. This is my opinion on it. But hey, who knows? Weird and strange doctrine. This is why I say the Bible is crystal clear. It's crystal clear. I can't even listen to the Israelites. I can't listen to none of their camps no more. I can't listen to IUIC, One Nation, One Israel, GOC. None, I can't listen to none of them. I can't. I literally cannot listen to them. Because I don't understand how in the world have I been in the truth, 2 years, 3 years now? And I come in, I read the plain crystal clear text, plain crystal clear. I don't need a bishop, a preacher, a prophet, a captain, and nobody to interpret it for me. This is what God says. Follow my commandments. Follow my laws. Okay, so what did I do? I went and found out what his laws was. Oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. The laws that we can't follow are when you break God's laws, what do? You sin. But when there's a law that you can't follow or that you are unintentionally follow, what do? You're unintentionally sinning. And God has rules on what to do when you unintentionally sin. Because there's laws that you won't be able to follow. Say you live in a country, they only got pork and that's all you have to eat. So you have to unintentionally sin now. But you don't want to sin, but it's what you have to do. Or let's say you're 15 and your mom only served you pork. You don't want to eat it, but you ain't got no choice. So you unintentionally sinning. And I've given you guys the scriptures before to show you what you're supposed to do when you unintentionally sin. Repent. Christ is your sacrifice for when you unintentionally sin. He's your grace. Christ is your get out of jail free card. But that doesn't mean that you just keep going back to jail. You don't keep intentionally going back to jail. You try to follow the law to not go back, even though you have to get out of jail free card just in case you do go. But you don't intentionally go. You try to follow the laws. Oh, I'm going on and on and on for this. And I maybe need to go ahead and leave it at that. I maybe need to go ahead and leave it at that, because what I was going to get into was being blessed and being rich. But I think I'm gonna leave it at that. I think I'm gonna leave it right there. No, you know, I'm gonna go into this real quick. I'm gonna go into this because Deuteronomy 28 and 1 says that if you fully obey the Lord your God, because I gotta get into this because there's so many of our people who haven't come to the truth. So many of our people who haven't come, so many people in the world who haven't come to the truth, but specifically our people who have not come to the truth. And I remember when once I saw a guy on the street corner preaching to a guy and trying to tell him, you need to come to the truth, you need to follow God's laws, right? And the guy on the street corner asked him, how was God's laws going to benefit us? Like economically, financially. Oh God, I'm preaching to somebody right now. I don't know the financial status of these guys preaching on the street corner, but some of them don't seem like they have of a high caliber of high wealth. Some of them appears as though they should be, instead of preaching, that they should be, that they should be working. Remember, the Bible says you should be working 6 days a week. Do you think that every single person that you see on the street corner preaching worked 6 days a week? I'm talking about a job financially, day and night, working 6 days a week. I'm not saying all of them, because some of them are lawyers, doctors, teachers. I've met some of them. You know what I mean? Some of them, I'm broke. Some of them are rich for sure. That's a fact. But I'm saying the majority of them, some of them, you can see their clothes look homeless. It's just a fact. And I've even went out some of these camps and I've seen some of them and I know what they, how they live, and they're not doing well. But God says that you are supposed to take one day off and work 6 days. That's a commandment, to work 6 days, to go make money 6 days. You can drive DoorDash at night and in the day. You can drive Lyft. You can go deliver pizzas at night. We were called to be hard workers. I'm going to prove this in a minute. I can prove it with scripture. We were hard to be grinders, to be rich, to go after it. We wasn't called to be victims and say that, oh, I'm just sitting under the curses, so I'm just going to wait for the manna to fall from the sky. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. We were called to go out and get it. Lions, they don't want this. Deuteronomy 28 and 1 says this. Listen to this part. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. Wait a minute. If you follow all my commands and decrees, you'll be set above, high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in a city and blessed in a country. You will be rich in a city and rich in a country. That's what that means. Wealthy in a city. And wealthy, and that's what that means. Right now, what condition are we in? Now we know Deuteronomy 28 and 15 says you'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Poor. And then it goes on to show you all the curses you will have. You have poverty, crime. It shows you all the stuff you see today. So basically today, it says if you don't follow my commandments, this will be your condition. So we're not following his commandments, because look at our condition, right? But it says if you did follow my commandments, look at your condition. Look at this one, Deuteronomy 28 and 12. Look at this. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to all the commands the Lord gives you to this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never be at the bottom. Listen to what I'm trying to say to you, because these people are claiming that they are following God's laws, commandments, and statutes, but they're broke. But they're living under the curses. They look just like you and me living under the curses. Matter of fact, I take that back. They look worse than you and me. The regular black people look like they're doing better than them. So you come in the truth and become broke. You understand what I'm saying? So this is like antithetical to what God's word is saying. Because God's word said you come to the truth, follow my laws, you're going to be blessed, rich, prosperous. But it seemed like we come in the truth and they become broke. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody right now. I'm going to get in trouble for this one. I'm telling you the truth. And y'all tell me if I'm lying. I know the black women finna say amen because they know I'm not lying. They ain't going to say amen about the multiple wives, but they're going to say amen about this. Because they know I'm telling the truth. You come in the truth and then you look crazy. Everybody in Jamal Bryant Church who worshiping in heathen, they dress nice. Even if they're not in suit and ties, I'm saying that like the clothes look pressed and look like they look like kings and queens. And then they go over there, we go over to say we come into the truth, and you got an old scarf and an old hair rag on and an old dress and some dingy jeans and some ugly burnt up shoes. But God said, if you follow my laws, you will be blessed. I hope y'all listen to this because I'm about to prove this right now. To me, it says what it's saying to me is this: you're not actually really following God's laws. Because guess what God's laws have? Financial instructions. There's financial law, there's business laws, there's financial instructions. So when the guy came to him on the corner and said, how does these laws benefit us financially? He was supposed to pull up God's laws and show him the financial instructions God gave us. This is what you do with your finances to how you be blessed. The Jewish people follow God's financial laws. They don't want this. They don't want this. This is just a something that God has just dropped on me recently. This is just literally something God dropped on me recently because I was looking around like, God's law said, if we follow him, we will be blessed. But our people that supposedly come into the truth following his laws are cursed, still look cursed. They still under it. Look how they talk. Look how they act. Right? Their language has not changed. They still committing crime. They fighting with each other. They fighting with each other. Even though I say love your brother as you would love yourself. Right? So nothing has changed about them. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, all things that pass away, all the evidence. That's what Christ is talking about. Right? That a new creation. That's what he's talking about. Their character hasn't changed. If you follow God's laws, your character will change. I know this because I was in the army. The army will give you all of their principles and their ideals and drop it on you. Boom. Now you come out of there quoting the army revised statutes, and you look changed. People know, oh, wow, he changed. He speak different. He talk different. He walk different. Everything about him is different. Same thing with God's laws. If you was to have his laws written on your hearts and on your minds, as it says in Hebrews, 8:10 and Jeremiah 31:31, if you have his laws written on your heart and in your mind, which they are going to be supernaturally done to you anyway. But I'm trying to show you right now in these last days, as we're trying to follow his laws, that many of us are not actually following his laws. And that's why it says, without a vision, the people shall perish, but he that follow the law, happy is he. So you're not following the law. That's why you're sad. That's why you're broke, spiritually, physically, and mentally. Because he that followeth the law, happy is he. Without a vision, the people shall perish. What's the vision? What's the instructions? Without a vision, purpose, Torah, the people shall perish. But he that followeth the law, he that keep the law, happy is he. You're not keeping the laws. They're not keeping the laws. This is clear. It's clear. It's clear. They're keeping the Sabbath. I just had a conversation with a guy the other night about this. And I hope you don't take offense. But I told him, I said, you keeping the Sabbath. He said, I do the lunar Sabbath instead of the Hebrew calendar Sabbath or the Roman calendar Sabbath. I think I follow the Roman calendar Sabbath. But the point of the matter is this: we so concerned about the Sabbath, but you don't see none of them concerned about the moral laws or the financial laws. Why none of them following the financial laws? You see, if you follow my laws and keep my commandments, my decrees, you will be blessed, rich. Who follows his laws and commandments and decrees and they are blessed? The Jewish. The Jewish. It's a fact. Now, yeah, I know some of them in the synagogue of Satan. I probably say 20% of them are in the synagogue of Satan. But guess what? I would probably say the majority of them, I know for a fact, the majority of them have no idea that they stole your identity. If I'm a little boy, I'm a little Jewish boy at 5 years old, my mama tell me these are the laws I'm supposed to follow, I just follow them. I don't know that this was given to you. I have no idea. I'm just following it. And then generation to generation to generation go on. And this is all I've ever known. And so I just all know I was Jewish. That's all I've ever known. But I'm following the laws. And I'm blessed. And they blessed for it. And they are what? The head and they're the tail. And guess what they do? They lend and they do not borrow. You would say that they're doing it. Of course, they have some cunning and conniving things they've done. But they use God's laws to do it. This is a fact. I can prove this right now. I can prove it right now. God's law says that you are not to lend with interest to another Israelite or to another, let's just say, for example, Jew. The Christians and the Muslims and Christians and Islams interpret that as they were not supposed to do no interest. So that's the reason why Christians and Muslims did not go into banking. But the Jews went into banking. The Jewish, I'm sorry, went into banking for that reason. Because they knew the interpretation was that it wasn't just supposed to be that you couldn't, you can lend, you just can't, I mean, with interest, you just can't do that to another Jewish person, so to speak, or to another Israelite, so to speak. Do you understand? So now when they got their banks, now they own the bank, they can give you whatever interest they want to give, because the laws didn't prevent for them not give to you an interest. Do you see what I'm saying? And this is why they went into banking. Now, we can get into the corruptness about banking and whatever, whatnot. I'm not telling you to glorify them in any kind of way whatsoever. I hope you guys have seen my video, so y'all understand that, right? It's Mystery Babylon. It's a fact. The great city. I'm not getting into that. It's going to end up, we go into the prophecies, that internet. But I'm proving you with scripture how I know this is true. Romans 11:11. Again, I ask, did they stumble so far from beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. We're envious right now. But if their transgression means riches from the world is rich and we broke. The world is rich and we broke. Look at this real quick. Oh my God, did I end up putting Luke 21 here? Yeah, Luke 21:24. Because I wanted you to see, this is claiming to say Gentiles living in Israel. They will fall by the edge of the sword and will be taken prisoners into all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So until the end of the world, there will only be Gentiles living in Jerusalem. Who living in Jerusalem right now? The Jew-ish. I'm black-ish. I'm red-ish. Yellow-ish. Not actually the original yellow. I'm ish. I'm like that. I'm black-ish. I'm not the original black, but I'm like it. I've taken on the identity of that. And they are blessed because of it. Because I showed you earlier that even if a Gentile, in Numbers 15:15, that even if a Gentile or a foreigner follows God's laws, he would still bless them. And I just showed you right now in Romans 11:11 to the Romans, how it shows to the Romans. He's asking the Roman, did they stumble so far from recovery that they shall fall? No, Lord forbid. Now, if they stumble, what do you say? But if their transgression means riches to the world, to the Romans, if the Israelites' transgressions means blessings to the world, how much more fullness would their inclusion come? To the Romans. So now how much more rich will the Gentiles be when the Israelites come back in for real? Yeah, I don't want this. I don't want this. Oh, my goodness. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I just went on and on and on. I might not even edit this one, because I want to get it up and I want to get it out to y'all. I did another one where I went too deep on it. And this one, I went a long time, but I guess because I've been gone for a while, that I wanted to give you guys a message of everything that was on my heart. And it's really just about the weird and strange doctrine that I've been seeing. And then what I was hoping here is that I gave you a basis for your faith, something for you to always fall back on when you're feeling confused, when you're feeling like you don't know what to do, when someone comes to you with a question, or somebody comes with you with a statement, just because it sounds eloquent and just because it sounds true does not mean that it's true. You go back to the word. You go right back to God's laws as the basis of everything, the Constitution as the basis of everything. Boom. Okay, here's God's laws right here. That's why I wrote the book God's Laws with 613 laws as a basis for you. So if somebody says something to you, you can just go down and look. I'm not seeing that here. Is there anywhere else you got? You get what I'm saying? Now, you don't see that there. That's not even, so you don't got a basis of understanding for what they're claiming that you have to do or what's going to happen. You get what I'm saying? Like, you have to. I hope y'all hear this. I hope y'all hear this good. I really, really do. Because this would really, truly help so many people. So many people come to me with the craziest, weirdest, strangest questions. And this is why, you know, it's funny. I was getting on TD Jakes and Joel Osteen and some of these other pastors about the fact they never talk about the end times. But this is the reason why they don't talk about the end times. Because if you talk about the end times, you get a bunch of psychos writing you things that you're like, where did you read that at? Because everybody has heard stuff since they've been kids. I heard stuff when I was a kid. We all heard stuff. But where are you reading that at? You get what I'm saying? Where are you reading that at? Show me the basis in the Constitution, God's laws, his statute, his commandment, his commandments is the basis for your faith. That to be the starting point of almost every conversation as far as when it comes to what you're supposed to be doing and sin and whether you have to do in order to go to heaven. That should be the basis of everything. Women learn in silence. Well, where you got that at? I ain't got to listen to Timothy. Right? Well, black woman, you know, is silent. And they got them sitting up in there like they in a mausoleum. That's not even in their nature or who they are. Come on, somebody don't want this. Okay, so hopefully I gave you a basis of your faith with this message. Hopefully everything you do, you first refer to God's laws, his commandments, and his statutes before you go off believing anything and everything that someone says. I am literally hope and pray that this message strengthen your faith and your understanding in the Most High God and in our Savior Christ. All right, I'll talk to y'all soon. Shalom, shalom.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. You can support by subscribing at ministries.leodunson.com. There you will receive exclusive content and unreleased videos. Please go subscribe at ministries.leodunson.com. And may the glory of God and His blessings be upon you. Shalom.